We're going to go on the record now. We are on the record for the hearing, and my name is Richard Steves, and I'm the appointed special magistrate by the Hernando County Value Adjustment Board for this hearing, and it will pertain to petition number 20-070. Petitioner, would you go ahead and state your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Evan McCloskey.
All right, and property appraisers?
Doug Mack.
Melissa Cullen.
All right, Mr. McCloskey, I have a copy of the opening statements here, but I believe you've been through the process before. Do you have any questions about my role or the VAB process here?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and swear everyone in for the hearing. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth regarding the testimony you're about to give?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Okay. Mr. Mack, you can go ahead and read the parcel number and values.
Okay.
Your evidence.
The parcel number is R282218-1576-0000-0030. The 2020 just value is $1,906,566. The 2020 assessed and taxable values are $1,322,921. If you'll turn to page, looks like our page numbers got messed up. It's the case synopsis at the top.
Okay.
It's probably about 11 pages in somewhere.
Keep going. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. This property is at 13143 Cortez Boulevard in Brooksville, Florida. It sits on the north side of Cortez Boulevard, east of Mariner Boulevard. It has frontage on Cortez Boulevard, an access road and a frontage road, and it has access from the access road and frontage road. It is zoned PDP-GC. There are 53,880 usable square feet of land. The structure was built in 2003 and has an effective age of 2003. The structure has 4,369 leasable square feet. If you'll turn to page 11, it's the comparable improved sales chart. I apologize again for the page numbers.
Okay.
We've used five sales located in Hillsborough, Pasco, Hernando, and Pinellas counties, ranging from 2,028 leasable square feet to 3,984 leasable square feet, that range from January 2019 through October of 2019, with price per leasable square feet between $574 and 16 cents and $1,310 and 6 cents, excuse me. On the next page, we've made adjustments for time, location, age condition, quality design, size, and land-to-building ratio, with a minimum price per leasable square foot of $515.78 and a maximum of $1,013.33. We used $650 per leasable square foot for a final value of $2,839,850. If you'll turn, I show it as page 20. It's the comparable rentals chart.
Yep.
We used five rentals located in Pasco, Hernando, and Hillsborough counties, with leasable square foot ranging from 2,950 square feet to 4,051 square feet. These are all actual leases that are either triple net or absolute net structure. We've made adjustments for the expense structure and adjustments for the conditions of lease, as well as location, age condition, quality design, size, and land-to-building ratio. Our minimum rent per leasable square foot would be $41.28. The maximum $52.56 $0.50 per square leasable square foot, and we used $48 per leasable square foot. If you'll turn to page 26, it's the direct cap chart. We have a PGI of $211,026. We allowed a 3% vacancy for an EGI of $204,695. We showed 6.28% in expenses, giving us an NOI of $191,836. We used a cap rate of 6%, loaded it with the 2019 millage rate, giving us a loaded cap rate of 7.62%, or a final value of $2,518,273. The 8 criteria were considered in the analysis of the subject. The value of the subject from the sales comparison approach is $2,839,850, and from the income approach is $2,518,273. Therefore, the as-is fee simple market value for the subject as of January 1st was $2,679,062. Behind this, you'll find property record cards for all of the comparable sales, property record cards and lease information for all of the rentals. And if you'll turn way to the back to page 132, you'll find an insert from Net Lease Advisor website for Chick-fil-A showing the cap rate of, based on a 12-month average with 10-plus year lease terms of 4.59%. And that's what that's all I have for this.
Okay. Mr. McCloskey, I have your evidence here in front of me. Go ahead and
perfect.
Take me through that.
Sure, yeah. So as you're going to see, this front cover page, we're going to see a 60% increase jump from 2019 just by 2020, which is certainly what caused the red flag and caused my team and I to review this property. After looking through this, what you're going to see on the front cover page is that using an income and cost model, we're getting somewhere around $1.5 million. What we've seen is that the 2019 just value was certainly too low, but the adjustments made up to 2020 to a valuation of 1.9 is too high. So starting to walk through this on page 2, wanted to go ahead and show the Hernando County property record card. I'll defer to the county on correcting me on this, but it looks like what's being done and the way we've gotten to the just value recorded of $1,906,566 is some kind of a cost model where we're looking at land at $12 a foot, and that's what's being caused for land. And then you're seeing the building information showing the replacement cost new at $308 a square foot with depreciation of 18%, which a 17-year-old building coming out with 18% depreciation says that the effective life of this building, according to Hernando County, would be 100 years. So working through that, what you're going to see in the cost model that I'm going to provide is that not only is the depreciation factor wrong here, but the replacement cost new of $307.60 substantially high.
Evan, so, do you want me to kind of explain that because you're asking for us to correct you?
Yeah, if you don't mind waiting until I'm done, I would love to take the time to explain that. Great, thank you so much. So again, working through this, going to go to page 5, which is going to be the cover page of our cost approach. As you're going to see, I pulled several different land comps that are within a mile on this same road that all have a similar frontage. And what you're going to see is that every single one of those land sales within the last couple of years ranged from $10 a foot to $15 a foot. The county, again, in their land model, which, again, they can correct me on this, had it at $12 a square foot. So looking at those sales from $10 to $15, which I'm going to show you in the next couple of pages, we are front and center in this development, so it went with the highest range of $15 a square foot. As you're going to see from, again, a future page, went with a Marshall & Swift depreciated value of $658.971, and then used the canopy site improvement depreciated cost new from the county to come up with an indicated cost value of $1,510,110. So what you're going to see in pages 6 through, I believe it's 10, are those 5 or so land comps. And as you're going to see on that first sales comp map overview, they're all going to be in the same area So really looking at where I believe it's a Culver's, a Longhorn, and then a strip center, all with similar acreage on the same road with similar frontage. You're going to see some of these sales in $12 or $10 a square foot. But again, since we are front and center in that development, I did go with the highest range of $15 a foot. So continuing on to page 12 of the document is where we get into the Marshall and Swift report for this building. What you're going to see is that I use Class D structure, which all of our buildings in Florida are, with the masonry block build. We're also using a quality rating of very good, and then letting Marshall and Swift use their own depreciation factors, which comes out to an effective life around 40 to 42 years, which is generally standard for our industry, although Chick-fil-A generally don't last that long. Their generally life is closer to 30 years. Wanted to go with Marshall and Swift for a 439 rated fast food restaurant for this. So again, not adjusting the depreciation other than what Marshall and Swift already has in their system. Moving on to page 13, it's going to be our income approach. So looking at gross potential income, what you're going to see in the following pages is a substantiation for these numbers, but coming up with a vastly different rental rate for this property, much closer to $30. So went with $27.50, as you're going to see from the substantiation below. Went with vacancy and collection loss of 5%, which is generally very standard for the this type of an industry, especially in a county like Hernando County. Using much lower expenses than the county, I believe they were closer to $3 a foot. So we're at $1.25 for operating expenses, since most of the leases in this industry are triple net or absolute net. And again, going on with substantiation coming, a very similar cap rate. I believe, if I remember this down correctly, the county's base cap rate was 6% and we're at 5.5% with a very similar adjustment for expected tax rate. Last page of the document is going to be a listing of sales that were used to drive the rental rate and the cap rate. Certainly can get into this at a later point in time, but there's actually several different issues with the sales that the county used, both for their sales comparison and for their rental rates, to show that those are actually not market lease rates or really market leases at all. So looking at these leases that were just very recently signed in the area that were then sold, we're seeing rental rates between $26 a foot and $32. Again, because this restaurant is 17, 18 years old, the rental rate it would derive in the market wouldn't be the very bottom of this, but it certainly wouldn't be the $32 a foot commanded from a brand new Burger King or a brand new Wendy's. So went with the rental rate of $27.50 and a base cap rate of 5.5%. Again, going back into the income model that I just showed. So I guess I'll ask this question. Again, I did say that I had some issues with the county's proposal, but that's the end of my portion of this documentation. So I guess I'll wait to hear from you, Mr. C, about what next steps should be, if I should continue on or if I should just pause here.
Let's just go ahead and let them make some comments. I think you have some comments.
We both do.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead?
I will go ahead. So on the property record card, first of all, well, it says on our card it's a cost. What I do, and basically in mass appraising, is for a property like this, because it's a single-tenant property, I will typically look at a sales comparison and blend it with the cost, so to speak. More weight, of course, is put on the sales comparison. Now, as far as the depreciation, to answer your question, I'm pulling up depreciation charts, but basically everything in the county is put on a 30-year life. So that's actually more beneficial to the owner. So it would depreciate at a higher percent. So that's a simple answer. And I want to say, Evan, I apologize for interrupting you before. I thought you wanted me to explain that right then and there. The first thing you had asked about, I think, were the sales that they were showing recently signed leases for new buildings. If you actually looked at our improved sales chart, sales 1, 2, and 3, you can see the year built and the effective ages. And they are not brand new buildings. if that answers your question. Another reason for another question you had, I believe, was the increase from 19 to 20. I think we had discussed this when we had talked several months ago, but just so that the magistrate is aware, something that we've been noticing with these build-to-suit first-generation restaurant spaces in the county is that they have been undervalued, heavily undervalued for years. They were being valued just the same as a mom-and-pop's barbecue restaurant or something like that. So it was something that we had to take a look at and adjust accordingly. Another comment I want to make is, again, this is the best location in the county. This is at the intersection of State Road 50, which is Cortez Boulevard and Mariner. High retail area, a lot of restaurants, a lot of recent growth in the last few years. This is the only Chick-fil-A in this county. Actually, a local person is a part owner of this that we all know very well. He actually explained to us that he's not sure why this is being filed on, that I don't know if there's some kind of lease agreement that maybe is not being disclosed between him and Chick-fil-A, where Chick-fil-A gets less percentage paid in the lease because the taxes have increased. So that's another question I have for you when you can speak, if this is in fact leased somehow between the local owner and the Chick-fil-A corporation. Also, this being the only Chick-fil-A in the county, when you go there, I actually don't go there because there is usually two drive-thrus and it's completely wrapped around the building. It's extremely busy in there. I have waited in that line for 45 minutes before. So it's doing very well. Additionally, I know, Evan, when we had spoke, you had expressed that these are typically owner-occupied. And a point I want to make, the reason why we don't look at it like that, again, just to explain to you, and so I think we had talked about it, but so the magistrate is aware, you know, these properties are typically not owner-occupied. They're typically leased, and we actually have two properties that came through, I believe it was on SRS National Lease Advisor, something like that, that are Chick-fil-A's that are occupied and being marketed for sales investment properties. Now I'm going to let Doug go ahead, and I guess he has some questions or comments as well.
I do. I have a few comments I'd like to make concerning their packet. I'm going to start with the cost approach that they supplied. None of the petitioners' land sales comps are out parcels. The subject is considered an out parcel. In one conversation that the petitioner had with Melissa, it was brought up that once the land value exceeds the building value, the subject would be no longer at its highest and best use. It would. It's not the case for this particular subject. If that were the case, the building should be demoed, and we know that that's not the case here. This structure, based on their cost approach on the Swift estimator that they turned in, they've used a height of 16 feet. This structure actually has a 13-foot height. If that were the case, it would call for a higher story height multiplier, which would increase the value. But it is actually 13 feet, not 16. A little bit of background about this particular subject. Last year, a permit was finalized for a commercial addition for the value of $180,000. I'm not sure what all they may have done inside, but outside they had added a carport over the drive-through lanes. That $180,000 permit that they pulled, when I personally went out there and inspected it and added the carport, we actually only increased their value by $4,979. That number actually comes from their contractor, not from our office. When I look at their sale comps, the first one, it was a future Culver's. It was a qualified sale, but it's not an out parcel. Their second sale was a qualified sale. It was vacant commercial, but again, it's not an out parcel, and now it has become a two-tenant retail store.
So that one, does it still have a Zaxby's in part of it, or?
Which one?
The second one. Aren't we talking about their sales?
Let's see, their sale comps. Let me look and see which one that is.
It would be their land sales.
Their land sales I'm talking about. I apologize. Sales. I apologize for that. Okay.
Well, the land isn't really an issue. I mean, you guys have it assessed at $12 a square foot. He's putting $15 on it. So.
Okay, I can skip over that then. That's not a problem.
But the sales, the improved sales that he provided, most of them look like they're, you know, pretty new. So the rental rates should be pretty new also, but
okay, yeah. You're looking at this last chart?
Yes.
Okay, let me talk about that for just a moment.
Okay.
The sale one, I couldn't verify any information on. That's in Citrus County. I tried to find information and I could not. Sale two is the Zaxby's in Spring Hill. I do have concerns about that particular sale. The square footage and rental rates are incorrect based on the listing that we found from Marcus and Milichap. They list a square footage of 3,652 leasable square feet and the rent at $49.84 a square foot. We use this same property in our income approach. And if you look in our packet, you'll see that the property record card shows the much smaller square footage. Okay. Now, our square footage is a little bit larger than what they show in the packet, but that's common because we measure from the outside of the building. And I see a lot of times that they measure the inside square footage. Let's see.
So it's this one on Anderson Snow.
The Anderson Snow, yes, sir. Let's see. Let me catch up to myself here. There's a Burger King that they've listed in Land O'Lakes. It actually sits on a ground lease. We're not given any information about what the ground lease rent would be. And the cap rate given in the petitioner's evidence is incorrect based off the offering memorandum that I was able to find in CoStar. The Charlie's Philly Steaks in Largo, based on an offering memorandum I found in CoStar, had a lower cap rate at 5.5%. And those were actually the only three of these that I could verify. But of the three that I could verify, I found mistakes on all or errors on all three. So I'm not sure how much weight can be placed on any of these if the three that I could verify were incorrect. One other thing I'd like to mention about the actual subject. There is an active permit for this subject to do a commercial addition. The permit has been approved, so I'm assuming it will start soon. It's to add an additional 546 square feet to the rear of the building, and that permit value is listed by the contractors at $850,000. The space, based off the plans that were pulled, will be used for an office, a small food prep area, and additional walk-in coolers and or freezers. It shows both.
That's high.
Yes. Okay. It's 1,500 and change per square foot.
And you saying it's high, and I don't know if Evan knows this, I'm also the supervisor of the Tangible Personal Property Department. Even if, let's just say they included the kitchen equipment, which we consider some of it tangible personal property if it's not attached to the building. Even half that is $425. And I have never seen in a a quick service restaurant where they have equipment for the whole place that is that high. I know that the brand new Zaxby's, I think they're around like $2,250. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Well,
let me ask this question real quick. I feel like, Melissa and Doug, I've heard from both of you that we're not going to consider any impact to COVID because it was after 1/1/20. So right. I want to make sure if we do consider the increase in value associated with a future permit, we're also going to discuss the decrease in value associated with COVID and its economic effect on the real estate market. So again, help me make sure I know which side of the fence we're leaning on this. We either need to talk about both or neither, right?
Well, the point I'm trying to make is you're saying it's being overvalued. But if you pulled a permit for $850,000 divided by the 500 and some odd square feet per square foot, that supports the value right now on the property. That's the point we're trying to make. Now, when but this no permit will not be considered until 2021.
Correct. You just said it's not going to be considered, but it's being used against me for a 1/1/20 valuation.
So yes, it is.
I want to make sure that's the point we're making, because no work has been done to this property. And quite honestly, the impacts of COVID mean that all of the reinvestment we had originally planned may or may not take place going forward because of the economics of COVID.
I don't think that store, if you've ever been to it, which I don't know if you have, but is suffering from COVID. That place is so ridiculously busy. I live right by there. I pass by there every day on the way home. Again, I won't even go there because to wait in the line is just ridiculous. You wait forever. So I question that. We also do get reports from Department of Revenue on the gross revenue, so I will know if it has declined from COVID. Also, again, someone local here that owns the property is even wondering why this is being filed on. So, of course, my question is this actually leased and it's not being disclosed?
Yeah, Melissa, I hear what you're saying. Having talked to our franchisee who does not, in fact, own the property, I've been in contact with that individual several times now, and he actually agrees with it. So
who?
Before we start throwing out hearsay,
who?
The special magistrate, our franchisee.
Oh, I thought you said his name.
No, talking about the franchisee.
Because he called our property appraiser, just so you know.
I'm well aware. Again, I just want to make sure we're not throwing out hearsay to the special magistrate. It's not true.
No, and that's what I'm asking you, is at least. That's what I'm trying to ask you. Because I'm getting information from you, and then I'm getting information from the franchisee. So I'm wondering what's the actual case, is at least.
So Chick-fil-A Inc. owns the building and owns the land, and through our franchise agreement, we do sublease or lease it to the franchisee where they pay franchise fees and no market real estate rent. They only pay franchise fees associated with operating the restaurant.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. That's all I was asking.
Perfect.
All right. Anything else, Mr. McCloskey, before we conclude the hearing?
Yeah. I'd love to make a few comments real quick. So when it comes to cost, I want to make sure that we were on the same page. And like you just said, I mean, we're relatively close when the county's at 12% and I'm at our $12 a foot and I'm at 15. I believe it was the county that said that they operate on a 30-year effective life for these buildings, but the 18% depreciation for a 17-year-old building, I don't know what type of schedule is being applied, but the 18% is what's being applied in their cost model, which does not track to a 30-year life. Secondarily, I want to take a quick moment to look at the county's comparable sales.
Okay.
First of all, really there's five here. So we have a Taco Bell, a Wendy's, another Taco Bell in Pasco County, and a Burger King in Pinellas. And I want to hold off on the Zaxby's because all three Zaxby's in Hernando County have a really interesting story that I want to make sure we're discussing. For every single one of those sales in a separate county, every other county's record on their website shows that these were invalid sales, most of which coming from the Department of Revenue guidelines as a disqualified sale number 40, which according to the guidelines is a transfer in which the consideration paid for real estate is is verified to be significantly influenced by non-market factors or non-market financing, which is essentially exactly what's happening when these fast food leases are sold to investors, not fee simple interest, but the value of the lease to an investor over a long-term period. Secondly, I want to look at these rental rates that the counties are using, because again, the rental rates can be the largest difference between where I'm at and where the county's at. All of the rental rates that I pulled on did come from CoStar. I agree that the Zaxby's in Spring Hill did have the wrong square footage. It's an adjustment I was able to find after I received the county's information. But what's interesting and what I found in looking at that one in particular is all three Zaxby's in Hernando County, every single one of those were sale leasebacks where the same entity, actually the same owner, purchased all three vacant lands, generally for about $500,000, and I can provide the specifics if that's necessary. They then built their building for about $1 million to $1.2 million, and then they went and sold the entity lease fee for $3 million in a sale leaseback. So this entity actually built three Zaxby's restaurants, making about $1 million of profit on each transaction. So these rental rates are not coming from market sales. They're actually sale leasebacks that are mostly have their real rental rate derived from the leases that are being signed through those agreements. Again, there's two other rental rates here that the county is using. The Wendy's in Hillsboro is actually not a lease that's been signed anytime recently. It's actually a 15-year-old lease, according to CoStar, where the sale listing has been on the market for over a year now. And so either the cap rate is certainly too low for an investor to buy, or something else is going on with that lease. But I did want to point out that no lease has been signed on that property in the last 15 years. And lastly, the Wendy's in Pasco was a brand new 20-year lease with additional 5-year options scheduled for a major remodel whose lease included a lease guarantee over 60 units. So I want to make sure that we're talking about the same interest being valued here when apparently every other county in Florida, at least these ones right here that we're talking about, are understanding the difference in valuation perspective from the fee simple value of the real estate compared to the lease fee value or the going concern value of these brands. And so really in looking at an evaluation for property tax, knowing that we're already getting hit for the valuation of our brand when it comes to sales tax and income tax, that we're really looking at the value of the real estate here, or the just value if someone were to buy this piece of real estate from Chick-fil-A. There would be no lease revenue. There would be no 4.59 cap rate, again, because we're really talking about a building that Chick-fil-A Inc. owns. And if we were to sell it on the open market, it would go for a fee simple valuation much closer to the $1.5 million valuation as provided from the cost and income approach I've provided.
You want to respond to that?
I would like to. Evan, I'm going to have to agree to disagree about every county says these sales are disqualified, because I don't use them if the county says it's disqualified. Every county does not do that. Secondly, as an appraiser that's been doing this for 17 years, there is a huge misconception, in my opinion, that in order for something to be valued in fee simple, it has to be vacant, available for lease, or it has to be at a mom and pop lease rate. When these quick service restaurants are built, whether it's a Chick-fil-A or a Burger King, Taco Bell, McDonald's, they are constructed for that first generation user. Mr. and Mrs. Smith of Hernando County are not going to come and lease a Chick-fil-A unless Chick-fil-A goes out of business and it's second generation space. So I really, really don't disagree with that. Additionally, I have a Chick-fil-A that is marketed for sale in Brownwood, Texas, and then one in Mandeville, Louisiana. The one in Brownwood, Texas says brand new 15-year lease with 13 5-year option periods to extend. 10% rental increases every 5 years throughout the initial extension term and at the beginning of each period, steadily growing NOI, slated to open fall 2020. So that just supports my argument. The second one says, tenant recently executed a new 20-year absolute triple net ground lease with 8 5-year options to extend, slated to open 2021. Now, granted, it's a ground lease, but again, you know, I'm still going to argue that you have to take into consideration that these types of properties are going to be designed and sold to an investor. And therefore, when you look out in the market, your fee simple would be equal to your leased fee. Just because it's leased doesn't mean it's necessarily a leased fee value. Also, some of the points that you brought up about our comps are in our packet because, again, that's what the market's dictating. So, again, I'm just going to completely disagree with that fact. I don't feel that we are looking at this in a different manner than it should be looked at. That's all I have to say.
I actually don't disagree with you on a lot of that. So there are fee simple sales and there are leased fee sales all throughout the country right now when it comes to fast food restaurants. And you're right that typically whenever these buildings are initially constructed, they then do sell leased fee for generally $2-4 million. Again, the reason those leases are selling so high is because they're national tenants that have guaranteed income streams, right? That's what the investor is buying. And again, the one thing I just wanted to make sure that we have covered here, and I certainly don't want to beat the dead horse, is that that's not the case for this property. When you look at the just value for the property located at 13143 Cortez, there is no long-term lease available to buy on the market. So from a mass appraisal perspective, I see what you're saying. But again, when you look at what this property would be able to sell for on the open market, you're not going to get the, let's say, $2.6 or $2.8 million valuation that you come up with on your income or sales model. Again, which is why a cost model could never tie into those numbers. So from a fast food perspective, the fee simple and the lease fee are going to be vastly different. And adjusting to a true fee simple or what the real estate would sell for is really what I've been trying to do.
All right, understood. I don't think you guys have anything else.
No, I mean, basically the petitioner just has to understand I can't look at what goes on in each property. I have to assess on what goes on in the market, and that's the response to his comment, but I'm not going to keep going back and forth about it. And that's all I have.
All right, Mr. McCloskey, I think we can conclude the hearing and go off the record. So, Mr. McCloskey, have a good night. Bye-bye.